Before we get started, I know Brother Gary asked for a testimony, but I'm going to ask for a testimony too. Brother Dave, would you stand and give us a testimony, sir? Tell us about the good things that the Lord has done for you all this week. Praise the Lord. That would have made me jump for joy, brother. If my doors were locked and I'm praying and I'm pushing numbers and the door goes bloop. Thank you, Lord. And now you're going to go get some copies?
Sure.
So we're looking in chapter 4 of Samuel. If you'll bow your heads with me for a moment. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, Lord God, we just do give you thanks, Lord God, and honor. I thank you, Lord Father God, for the goodness of God, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, for my wife. I thank you for my home, Lord Father God, and what you've supplied to me, Lord God. You've blessed me, Lord Father God, way beyond, Lord Father God, what I deserve. But I thank you, Lord God, for your goodness tonight. And I pray, God, that you just allow us to stand beneath the flow of the anointing, Lord Father God, and that you would hide us behind the cross and that your word will go forth with power and with free course, Lord God, and everything that's said and done, Lord God, will all be in you, Lord, and through you, Lord Father God. We ask these things tonight in Jesus' name, and Lord, we do give you the glory and honor for it all. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Chapter 4 of the book of Samuel, first book of Samuel. And it starts out this way, and the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. Now, Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and they joined in battle, and Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew the army and in the field about 4,000 men. My. Thank you, Lord. As we read here at this moment that they set themselves in array to battle. And they went to battle, and they went into the field, and it said that about 4,000 men were slaughtered of the Israelites were slaughtered at that point in time. The battle was going sore against the Israelites, and they were having a little bit of trouble. But we have to remember and understand that they weren't able to stand behind anything and fire an M16 or anything like that. Brother James, they fought hand-to-hand combat. They fought with swords and staves and they fought with arrows and they had slings that they used. That was their only kind of projectile weapon that they had was the bow and arrow and throwing rocks. And these battles didn't just go on for a few hours or just a minute or two. It was and it was over with, like the battles that we have, the skirmishes and the firefights that we have, they can last for 30 minutes and 1,000 men can be dead. This was all day and probably way up into the evening. And then the what was left dragged themselves back to the camp and sit there. Can you imagine the mindset that they had at that point in time, because they've been through a battle? And we talk to ourselves, my, it feels like I've been through a battle this week. But these brothers, they had been seriously through a battle, bloody, beaten, and they brought themselves back to the camp, and they begin to complain and to speak about things, and they go on in the third verse, and he says, and when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel, and let me start that over again if you don't mind. And when the people were come into the camp, and the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it will save us out of the hand of the enemy. They had noticed at times past that when they were at battle and they had fought a battle and they had the Ark of the Covenant with them, they usually saw the battle go well for them and go for their side. And they sit back there and then I can see all of the captains of the army. You know, all of the other guys, they were out there licking their wounds and trying to get themselves together. But all of the captains of the army get together, you know, and they roll out the big map and stuff like that, and they got a stick pushing the tanks and stuff like that. You know, I watched too many army movies. But they looked at each other, the leaders of the army of the Israelites looked at each other, and they begin to speak, and they begin to confer with one another. Why is this going against down? We shouldn't have had to have to fight this hard of a battle and lose so many men. How many times in your life when you're dealing with something that you thought to yourself, I don't remember that being that hard. I don't remember that us when we did this thing or that thing before, I don't remember it being so difficult. Why did it go so harshly against me? Feels like everybody was just dead set against me today. Has anybody felt like that? Or just thought that thought that it feels like everything was just against me? They were speaking to themselves and they were talking to each one another, and they said, we feel like everything is not going our way. But you know what we can do? Instead of entering into the closet of prayer, they say, let's go and get the Ark of the Covenant. I understand and know that this wasn't the New Testament time. I know that and understand that. But I guess as they always had the battles go well with them and for them when they had the Ark of the Covenant, let's send for it. Let's bring it and let's get it here so that maybe we can get our minds squared away. Maybe they would be able to feel like that they can pray and that their prayers would raise higher than their nose. They're risking a big thing when they bring the Ark of the Covenant out of the city, out of its protection. He says, so the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas were there, and the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all of Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again, as they saw the Ark of the Covenant come. They began to shout. They got a second wind. They got new life breathed into them. They say, there's the Ark of the Covenant. We'll win the battle. And they begin to shout their war cry, and they begin to cry out, and the Philistines heard this. How close was their camps together? Wouldn't you think they would sneak into one another's camps in the middle of the night and just kind of end this so that it didn't have to go so harshly? But I guess there was some kind of a civil battle. I guess I'm not sure, but it seems kind of harsh to me anyways. But as they heard the great shout come out of the camp of the Hebrews, it says, and when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise? What meaneth this noise of the, what? I was public schooled, thank you. I should have went to school and let Sister Sarah be my teacher. Then I would have done fine. What meaneth the noise? I have to stop. When I said that, she shook her head like, no. Oh, no, you would have been in the corner with that pointy cap on your head all the time. Gideon wore that a lot, didn't he? Yeah. Do you? You can just paint it orange and then use it for a cone, later on. Let's start at the verse 6. Let me get myself back on track. And when the Philistines heard this noise and this shout, they said, what meaneth the noise, this great noise and this shout out of the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, and they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of the mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. We remember that, and we understand that from our Bible reading. We understand and know, and because we talked about that the other day at our Passover dinner, about the plagues and different things. But the Philistines were used to multiple gods. And so they said, these are the men that have the gods that's delivered them out of all of this. How are we going to fight against this? How will we deal with this? I mean, we all look at things sometimes, and it seems like it's greater than we can ever overcome. Now, I'm not pulling for the enemy. I'm not giving the enemy any kind of a praise or glory. But this next section in this particular chapter, this man begins to speak to his men of the Philistines, and he begins to talk to them, and what the Hebrews should have been speaking to their men, this man was the one that said it to his. As the Hebrew men should have been the ones that give their men that pep talk, this man did. One of the leaders and one of the army, he says, be strong, unto them. He says, be strong and acquit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men. Remember who you are. Remember that they used to serve you. Remember that they were your servants at one time. The Hebrews should have been looking at each other. The children of Israel should have been looking at each other and says, yes, oh my God delivered us out of all of the bad things of Egypt. My God delivered us through the Red Sea. God brought us through this point and that point and got us through this thing and that thing. And it says, quit yourselves like men. That's what the Hebrews should have been looking at one another saying, yeah, stand up and remember that you are the children of God. God. That's what they should have been saying. But the Philistine stood up and he began to speak to them and speak to their hearts and speak to their minds and made them stand up and almost shamed them into being men and to stand up to fight a good fight of faith. When you're going into something, this right here, my brother, he just made me so mad one time. We were working out together and he put a lot of weight on the bar. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking like, no way. I can't do that. I've never lifted that before. And I started to kind of shake inside a little bit. I got a little nervous about it because, you know, clink, I've seen movies, you know, that people would drop a bar, but he's there to catch me. He's there to spot me. But he stopped. He gave me that. Just burned my biscuit. And he looked at me and he tapped his little forehead. Well, he's got a big forehead, but I ain't gonna tell him, say that out loud. Well, I got just as big of a forehead, so there. And he tapped his head and he said, "This is what's conquering you right now. This is beating you." Folks, there's times when that the devil will get into this thing here and he'll bring us to the point where that we feel like there's no way that I'm going to be able to fight this battle. No way. Well, eventually, a few weeks later, me and him messing around and you know, I'm an old man trying to I looked at that bar and he put that weight on there again. He says, "You're going to lift that. I got you. I've got you." And then he put his hands over the underneath of that bar and I grabbed the bar off of the rack, brother. And as I pushed it up, he just had his hands underneath it and he goes, "That's all you. It's all you. You got it. That's you. That's you did it. You did that. This right here stopped me. The children of Israel, this right here stopped them. Because this mindset will go right down in here to the heart and you will have no thought of victory. You'll talk yourself into defeat every time. If you've got a defeated mindset, you've got to have a defeated heart. And if you've got a defeated heart, then outside of these hands is going to be defeated. My Bible tells me, whatsoever my hand toucheth, I will prosper. Whatsoever my hands touch, it will prosper. Whatsoever things that I do, I can do through the name of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You just keep fighting a good fight of faith, Brother Dave. The enemy is just throwing rocks at you right now. Everything that he can, and he's trying to get you to the point where that you're like the Hebrew men, and you'll just kind of like. Whew. But these men of the Philistines, the leader says, and the Philistines. I'm going to read verse 9 over again to you. I want you to hear this because I want you to get it into your mind and into your heart and take this kind of a mindset. Be strong and quit yourselves like men. Sorry, ladies, but, you know, just go ahead. Be strong and quit yourselves like men. If you get that mindset, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. Stand up to the devil. You've got the word of God to fight with. The word of God is there, and the devil believes it, and he understands it, and he trembles. This is what you have to fight with. This is what you have to battle with. Use it. Get the word of God in your hearts, in your spirit, in your mind, because you might not have that New Testament in your back pocket, and you might not be able to have time enough to look up, but the Bible says, wait a minute. So get it in your heart. Get it in your spirit. Get it in your mind so that you will be able to fight a good fight of faith. Dropping down to the 10th verse, finally. And the Philistines fought Israel. My Lord. And the Philistines fought Israel and was smitten. And they fled every man unto his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000. 5,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Years ago, Samuel was spoken to, and he said, "I need you to talk to your buddy Eli. I need you to speak to him and tell him that if he don't get his sons in line, that they're going to die, and soon. And if you don't get your boys in line, this ministry that you have is going to be stripped from you." Samuel didn't want to tell Eli this, but this came to pass. Samuel spoke the word, and that's when you find a true prophet, when it comes to pass. Samuel was afraid to tell Eli any of this, but he said, "The Lord do unto you, or even more, if you don't tell me what he said last night. Now say on, let me hear what God had to say." And he was excited to hear about it. And when he got done, he wasn't so excited. But Hophni and Phinehas were slain. They deserved it. They had people staying out of church because of the garbage that they pulled and what they done. And they were ungodly, unrighteous, horrible men. Now, reading it, starting at the 12th verse, "And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army, and he came to Shiloh the same day, with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon the seat by the wayside, watching for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city, and told it all, the city cried out." I want to stop there just for a little bit, kind of paint the picture for you. Said that there was a man that ran, that got away from the battle. He came into the city, his clothes torn, ragged, bleeding. And look, you'd look at him and said he had earth on his head and dirt was on his face. So you know, he'd been through it. He'd been through a rough time. And my brother James, he was looking bad by any man's terms. And when he got into the city, Eli was concerned for the ark. Anytime it would leave, I'm sure that the high priest would be fully concerned for the ark until it got back, until it got into its right place. I would be concerned. And so Eli sat by the wayside and watching, for his heart trembled for the ark. And when this man came in and spoke to and told the city what had happened, they lamented, they cried out. And Eli, being 95 years old, he heard this. And in the 14th verse, "And when Eli heard the noise of the crying and said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli." Now Eli was 95 years old, and his eyes were dim and couldn't see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is there done, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel fled before the Philistines, and there hath been so great of a slaughter among the people, and thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark is taken." If there's any bad news that could come, this was the worst. This was the worst news. In the 18th verse, he says, "And it came to pass, when he had made mention of the ark of God, and he fell off of his seat backward, and by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he judged Israel for 40 years. But this old big boy sitting in that seat, and I'm kind of thinking that he might have had one of these things that look like a bugle, and it stuck it to his ear. And he said, "Boy, what meaneth all of this tumult? Tell me." And he spoke to him. And Eli, as a big fella, it smote his heart. And he fell over sideways. And his neck broke. God have mercy. In this portion that of the scripture, we see the mindset of the enemy. We see them almost giving up and throwing their hands up. And then we see them starting to encourage themselves. If the children of Israel would have stopped for a moment and encouraged themselves in the Lord, I believe that the battle would have had a lot different outcome. And now we see that things that God has spoken is coming, as came to pass. And as Eli had fallen over and broke his neck and had died, and his son, both of his sons were dead, all of the men of his home, of his lineage, were gone. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas's wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings of that the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And suddenly this woman bowed over as she heard this terrible news, went into labor. And as she went into labor, the pains, as I said, came upon her. And about the time of her death, oh my, and about the time of her death, the women that stood by said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying that the glory of the Lord has departed from Israel, because the ark of God it was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband, and she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." My goodness. As the news was given to this lady with child, I didn't realize until I've read this many times. And I read it today and I thought, she died in childbirth. I didn't realize that. And I realized there's things that you read that you just don't see the last time that you read it. But this time I looked at it and I thought, like, man, she died in childbirth. What a difficult, horrible time Israel was going through at this point. Now, I want to come to you and I want to talk to you about the Hebrews and the children of Israel. I want to talk to you a little bit about them. When they were talking, say, "Let's get the Ark of the Covenant." You know, and I don't slight them for that, because, you know, many times when they fought battles, that was there and that was always there. And if it was always there, then that was what they needed to be able to get them through. But if they would have got the mindset of the Philistines and looked unto the Lord and say, "Okay, God, I know that I'm repeating myself, but I'm old and that's okay because that's what old people do." But if they would have got the mindset that they had and spoke good things, then I believe that good things would have happened for them. I believe that if they were to give God glory and they would have lifted God's name up and they would have said, "Okay, I know what God can do. We dealt with them with this and that in this battle and that battle. We've gone through the storms of life, but God has always been there. We need to remember that in ourselves, that we have dealt with the bad things and we've dealt with the good things. God has blessed us and God has taken away. We remember that what God has done for us in the past, and I know what God can do for me in my future. God can help me to stand and be the man of God. Help me to be able to stand up and to to encourage all those that stand around me and let you have strength to be able to fight a good fight of faith, folks. We need to be able to stand in the day of adversity. The most difficult days and the most difficult times will come along. You young people haven't dealt with that. You probably feel like, oh, God, Mom, my life is over with. You have no idea. And she could probably look at you like, yeah, want to bet. Don't let the world run you over, but I'm going to use partial scripture to you right now. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Where does the devil come to you and speak to you? Up here. And he'll speak to your mind. He'll inject thoughts into your mind. You know, my boss, he'll get home, and I might have said something to him during the day, and he would start thinking about it, and he would text me while I'm at home and get all over me about something, but he had a little help to get there. That mindset, the devil starts putting things into our minds. So, Lord, help me. Put that helmet of salvation on. You might find that the straps got loose, so pull it down a little bit better and pull it back around and refasten it back there so that you don't have any chinks in your armor. Fight a good fight of faith. You are the soldiers of God. There's a song that... And it's a contemporary song, and it's called "The Soldier is a Child," and it says you don't know what goes on inside this armor, and the warrior is a child, and it says sometimes I fall down and cry. Oh yeah, but we do. We get into difficult times, and life just treats us harshly. And sometimes we just want to just throw it all away and just throw your hands up and walk away from it and just go on. Israel had been through a difficult battle here today. You may go through a battle tomorrow. Maybe it's going to be some other time. But, oh God, give us the strength to be able to stand and say, okay, God, the storm has came and I need help. Help me today. And God, I'll be careful to give you the glory tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. As the men of the Philistines stood and said, encourage themselves and says, be strong. Sometimes we need to look at ourselves in the mirror and speak to ourselves and give ourselves a speech. Give yourself a speech and say, you got to be strong in the Lord. You know what God can do. You know that you can. That's my problem. Sometimes I have a fear of man, and sometimes I have just fear. But God has not dealt to me a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound mind. So I thank you, Lord. God's good, isn't he? God's good. I'm going to let you folks out of church almost early tonight. But I want to just tell you tonight, I know that you're fighting battles out there. I know that you're stirring up some stuff and the devil is fighting after you tooth and nail, but I'm giving you the permission to stand up and say, okay, God, let's go. Help me, God. Give me strength. And if God says hold still for a minute, you better hold still for a minute. So let's just bow our heads. Thank you, Lord Father God, for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for your blessings. We ask you, Lord God, to help us, Lord, to fight the battle, Lord Father God, as you would have us fight it. Help us to have the mind of Christ, Lord Father God. Give us that mind, Lord Father, that mind that we can succeed. Help us, Lord Father God, tonight to give ourselves a chance. Lord Father, we owe ourselves a chance, Lord God, to succeed and to come through in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Father God, for your goodness and mercy tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for your word, and I bless the name of God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said,